And just like that, we are back. Happy New Year, everybody. Yes, it's February, I know, but we are back. At some point, I thought I wouldn't be back. I took my break in early December. I had a nice long one because I got burned out at some point. And raise your hand if you're doing your master's and trying to build a brand at the same time. Girl, someone needed to warn us. Like, really. But anyway, we're here and I just needed to just go switch off. But I think I feel good. I'm glad I did it. We're here. We're back. It just feels so strange this morning when I thought, okay, I need to record an episode. And all of a sudden, I had all these ideas that I just wanted to talk about. And you have to streamline yourself and be like, nope. Like, what? First thing first. So, yeah. And yeah, happy love month. It's a Valentine's month. What does this month mean to you? Are you into celebrating Valentine's? What does it symbolize? Anything? Do you look forward to it? I think my last Valentine's was like university. Like, I have no connection to this month whatsoever. But I know there are people who really, really love it and look forward to it. I'm wondering though, over the years, if the interest has declined for some people or is increasing. So it would be very interesting. It'd be interesting to see, particularly now in COVID. I wonder, I don't have a memory of what we did last year because we were all still, you know, in this, the midst of this pandemic. But what are you doing? What are you celebrating? Are you doing anything special? Before we jump into the interview, I just wanted to send a special thanks to the List team for sharing with us your conscious fashion report. Follow them on their socials, or you can alternatively pop into their website, which is list.com. If you follow reports and forecasts, this conversation is for you. I enjoy reading trend reports and focus reports and just, diving in and understanding some of the consumer habits that are coming through. And this is exactly the conversation that we had up next with the communications manager, Brenda Otero, and Nomfundo Mputi, who is also a fellow South African based in London. She is the director of strategy at List. They're both based at List. We had a conversation with them about their conscious fashion report for 2021. And it was very interesting. I just thought, you know, gone are the days where we only just focus on what item of garment is coming through or item of shoes we should be looking out for. I think within the sustainability space, it's just so interesting to see where, you know, the people or consumers, where their minds are at, you know, and what sort of things they're looking for. I mean, some of the data is saying that, not necessarily in this report, but just generally that is coming through, is the fact that there are more and more consumers that are looking for green purchases. And so it's always interesting to see. I guess it's also part of the measure to see if, you know, there is improvement and progress in the space. So we are popping at List offices. They're based in London. List is a fashion technology company, premium shopping app. For over 160 million annual shoppers, they offer the most comprehensive range of products from 17,000 of the world's leading brands and stores. And this is my conversation with them.
So let's start with how you compiled the report. Is it something that you do every year, just to set the scene for people who may not know? Is it something that List compiles every year? And how long does it take? And how do you gather your data?
I can tell you a little bit about this. So we do a yearly report. Every year we do a conscious fashion report, and we analyze our data and the insights. But this year we wanted to do something different. So instead of being more industry focused, we wanted to collaborate really closely with creatives and designers. And that's what we did. We identified these movements in the conscious fashion space, and we also worked together with creatives to kind of showcase their work and their ideas.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And so how different is this one from the one you did last year? What are some of the things that you're finding that this one, I don't know, highlighted?
What is really interesting is that the fashion, like the consumers, the users, fashion lovers, they are getting very knowledgeable, and they know what to look for. They want to know a lot about how fashion is produced, about materials. So there is now getting very specific. So they're looking for lots of biodegradable clothes, plant-based, just moving on from, you know, just vegan, because vegan can involve plastic. So users are getting very, very knowledgeable.
Yeah, and I'd probably add, like, I think for us, we obviously have like 140 million shoppers every year coming to the site. So we have really, really rich data. And also this has been around about 10 years. So we kind of every year are seeing an evolution. And I guess to Brenda's point, it's almost a sophistication in people's understanding. So going from search terms that might be kind of very broad to very specific things, which I think we cover in the report. So people not just looking for the term vegan, but actually looking for specific materials. So it's been amazing, like what we've seen over 10 years, how much customers are getting a lot more insightful.
And so in terms of, let's dive into the report. So in terms of the report, it seems like movements, fashion activism, movements around fashion, they're getting louder and louder. And I'm wondering, why do you think that is the case? And what is the impact that you think will have? Do you think movements are shifting the landscape? Brenda, you can take it.
Okay. Well, we based the movements that we included in the same as Norm was saying about the data that we collect. So when we see shifts and changes in those consumer habits, then we follow almost those pieces of information, and then we arrive into these movements. But yeah, that's the interesting thing as well, is that they are all about ideas, and they represent different ways that sustainable fashion can be put in practice. So there are different ways to be sustainable in fashion, and these movements show that that's the case, and that people, for different people, come in different things, and we wanted to do the report around these different points of view and ideas, basically.
And I think it's true that as certain movements have, especially the past 2 years, which has been really very different to anything else we've seen before, as movements have risen, whether it is the conversation around sustainability or Black Lives Matter, things like that, you do see it influencing shopping trends and people becoming more conscious. So we see a direct correlation.
And also, I think I found it also very interesting, particularly I think for someone like you and me, who we grew up with pre-order as well. I'm jumping to pre-order. We grew up with pre-order, and I'm sure, you know, most communities as well. But as Africans, I think we remember how many times we had to take things to be fixed, things to be repaired, things to be mended. So it's so interesting how all of a sudden it's becoming a buzzword. And I'm just like, what? How is that manifesting itself? Like, how is, like, in terms of the report, what was interesting about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how the things of old are coming back.
Yeah.
And the drive is a little bit different. So, I mean, I think obviously in communities like SA, I remember, like, if you go into a wedding, you have to go and, you know, you go to a tailor and you pre-order and everything's made just to you. And a part of it is just, for us in our community, might have been a question of scale. So for small designers and things like that, you don't want to invest in a lot of materials before you know that you actually have the order or the client. But there's a sustainability impact as well. So I think brands who maybe could scale up and mass produce a lot of products, I think, like, one of the examples we have is Telfar, which is huge amount of demand and has grown a lot over the past few years. But they're still choosing to do it on an order basis because it's just way more sustainable. So for them, it might not be about financial constraints necessarily, but it's about thinking more consciously about what you're making. But yeah, a lot of these new trends, it's things we've seen before, but it's just that the reason behind it is now different than in the past.
Yeah, I found it very interesting, this whole link between how convenient in the space of pre-order. It's almost as if, like, it's no longer seen as convenient, because some people see getting things repaired or mended in terms of convenience, but how all of a sudden that is shifting towards sustainability, you know? So just that interesting, intricate link that you would think it's just convenience, just take it to someone else to fix it, but actually not. Yeah, it's that landscape has changed.
But I think in the West, it's been quite different. For a lot of people with fast fashion, it was more convenient just to buy another cheap pair of jeans than repairing, right? And I think because people were not conscious of the potential waste and the impact, I think there was a behavior where people would just buy another one, especially because you had a lot of very cheap fashion. But I think now the trends with consciousness is maybe spend a bit more upfront. And the thing is, if you've spent a bit more, you probably are more likely to want to invest in repairing, for example. But yeah, no, you're right. I think these behaviors, they're not, not all of them are necessarily new. It's just that they're coming back with the new light.
And something that is also was interesting that is not necessarily new that is coming back louder and louder is this whole idea about connecting with your clothes and loving your clothes, you know, loving what you wear. And so I saw in the report, you're reporting this whole idea of consumers wanting to be more spiritual in terms of how they care for their clothes, in terms of how they connect with their clothes. Do you want to share more on that in terms of how it's manifesting itself? Brenda, you can take that.
Yeah, we saw that there are lots of interest in, you know, talisman jewelry, crystals, energetic things. So I think after the pandemic, there was this search for comfort, for almost like protection from accessories, jewelry, things that you're wearing. So it's just, it can be, fashion can be a great source of solace and comfort. So, and I think it also links to the idea that if you take care of your environment, you take care, you live in a more intentional way. Mm-hmm. And then you really kind of put intention in everything you do. Say it's dressing sustainable or buying sustainable, then it means that it's also, it has a spiritual dimension, and that you're living intentionally in the same sort of wave as the planet. And you know, like, I think more and more people they want to live that way, and they want to make choices that they follow that intention.
Mm-hmm. And so Nomfundo, do you think that COVID has fast-tracked this whole idea of mindfulness, or we were eventually leading up to that? Because all of a sudden, all of us, we are, you know, we're wanting more. We're wanting to connect to something else. We want to be, I think, more earthy, you know, in how we do things. And I'm wondering if you take the pandemic out And were we eventually going to connect with that energy, or is it just COVID has made us realize, no, we were on a treadmill?
So good. Yeah, I mean, I suspect that. So I think, like, if I think long term, there has been a trend towards mindfulness. And if I think about things like just a conversation of mental health, I think even before COVID was a much bigger conversation. Workplaces, like I know at List, we'd had a whole program trying to look after employee mental health. I know apps like Calm and things like that have been doing really well for a long time. So it's been there, but I do think you're right. Like with what happened with COVID, the past couple of years, especially a lot of young people have had to face death, maybe a lot more people that you know have passed where you maybe hadn't seen that before. The whole world has had to confront death. So even if it wasn't personal, every day you were looking at a death toll, which was just utterly depressing. So, and anecdotally, I know somebody who works at a company that does life insurance, and they just saw so much surge in demand during this time of people actually contemplating their life, death, everything. So I think that has contributed a lot to a rise in that consciousness. But I think one of the things the brand team saw as well, Brenda put in the report, was around TikTok as well. So I think on the young side, there's also been a rise in people sharing information, especially about crystals and mythology and things like that. So I think the combination of pandemic, but also being at home and social media tools, people sharing this type of information, I think that's helped to kind of see a rise in this this trend.
And I think it was also interesting that the List report didn't touch anything on a return to work. Was there a particular reason? Because I think that's what everybody's talking about now. But I know it's not necessarily a trend, but I feel like perhaps it could have taken that as well into account to say, but what about, you know, this landscape about everybody going back to work? How is it going to look like? Unless if you're secretly working on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe Brenda can speak to it, because I think we've got our kind of flagship report at List is a List Index. And I think there we capture a lot more of the global generic fashion trends. And I think we've done some work around return to work. But in conscious fashion, I don't think there wasn't necessarily a direct link on that. But I think Brenda, you were sharing some of the insights that you found on that, right?
Yes, well, we saw, right, Noam said that in other reports we have analyzed that return to work and how it's gonna look like. And we saw that at the same time, we have this comfort, the search for comfort and comfortable clothes and no restrictive clothes. Mm. But we have the desire to dress up, and we call it dopamine fashion. We want this rush of positivity from fashion. So it's these two things that are emerging. And especially with the hybrid model going to work, that's what we have at least at the moment. We do a few days in the office, a few days at home. So you have this mix of kind of dress up items like a blazer or some nice shirts or a cashmere jumper, but we can wear it with sneakers or with like elevated joggers. So this is what people are actually looking. There's like this mix of things that they appear to be kind of opposites, but they are now working together.
And I think we've seen in general much more casualization of the workplace going forward. In our data, we're still seeing the casual wear, sportswear still doing really well. I think everyone thought once we opened up, those categories would fall. They haven't. And we haven't seen necessarily the other categories that drop, let's say ties and suits. We're not necessarily seeing a sharp increase. So it does tell us that the workplace isn't going back to what it was. And anecdotally, I'm in the List offices today, and we are in the City of London. And people dress a lot differently. So City of London is a lot of bankers, and a lot of people have told me their workplaces, they maybe only used to do casual Fridays, but they've kind of applied that policy now every day. So we are seeing this much more casualization of workplace attire.
I know that you, in the report, you mentioned that working with designers, that you have picked and that you're seeing these trends in terms of sustainability, how they're channeling it and they're channeling the movement. Are you linking it to the workwear? Are you seeing them as well creating collections that will suit like this new space that we're moving into?
The designers that we spoke with, the base scene is a lot of them is about innovation. So that's what drives the brands and their work. This like basically innovation and how to like creativity through sustainability. So I think probably there's now more, you know, less experiment with social, the change of social roles at the same time as experimenting with materials. I think fashion is in a very interesting moment where people are kind of trying to figure out what happened and how society has changed. And sometimes it's quite telling how sometimes fashion can tell more about society changes than actual analysts. So you can see that some of the collections, without kind of articulating in a very, very obvious way, but you see things that they kind of almost kind of advancing in that way, kind of they absorb what's happening in society and they produce something. And that is how amazing how fashion can do that. So it would be really interesting to see these collections in February, what are they doing, what the proposals are, and see, because I remember just before the pandemic, there were some designers like Marine Serre that they proposed masks. They were kind of putting, even before we had anything about the pandemic, they were already kind of putting masks on the catwalk, and that's, no one could have, you know, foreseen that. But sometimes fashion kind of has this this way of seeing things that they are in the air, and they cannot explain it, but they do it. So I think it would be a good way to see how society has changed looking at fashion collections.
And so let's talk about the designers then in length. So what I'm wondering then, what, when I was reading the report, what is it that they're doing right in, you know, versus the brands that I haven't jumped on board yet? What are some of the things that stand out? I know you mentioned innovation, for example, that makes them feel that makes them be on track in terms of where sustainability is leading. If you could share more on that.
I think it was really such a cool selection of designers that we were able to identify. I think one, the smaller brands are able to take a lot more risk, and that's what we see, and are able to experiment a bit more. So they are often a little bit earlier when it comes to new materials, for example, or new processes and ways of working with their customers. They don't have the legacy that a lot of the larger brands have, or the brands that have been around longer. They are able to experiment more, take a bit more risk. And that's what we see in the report, just really cool new ways of thinking about fashion, right? So I think they have that on their side. And then I think a lot of the times they might be closer to the trends themselves. So rather than a big corporate, so they're kind of seeing what their community of other creatives, what their generation, let's say it's Gen Z, how they're thinking about things. So they're a little bit more, and I guess a bit to Brenda's point, intuitive and closer to the trends. So I think that's where we see this creativity that's been born and the innovation. It's they're able to take risks, and they're creative and they're more in tune, let's say some of the other players.
Yeah, because it is very, I think, challenging for big brands to, you know, obviously fully transitioning to sustainability 100%. Do you feel like the small brands versus the big brands, do you feel like the gap is huge? Do you feel like the big brands will eventually catch up, or it will be a segment of the business where they are doing sustainability very well, environmental sustainability very well, and you know, the other sides of business will just have to, I guess, continue as per normal?
Yeah, that's such a big question. Like, it's hard to know. Obviously, the past week, we've had this COP26 conference happening in Glasgow. So a lot of big major companies have been making commitments in fashion to either being carbon neutral by 2030. We're seeing a lot of, like, what does look really genuine commitments by some of the larger players. I think of Kering as one, to commit to sustainability. What I suspect might happen is you'll have those who have already started and are on the journey, that will have some of them who do really phenomenally well and are able to pivot to the point where, you know, sort of all of their lines have thought through the sustainability impact a lot. But you're also going to have those players who just fall behind. And I think as customers care more, as governments make regulations, you know, eventually we'll have the bigger players sort of move that direction. And we're already seeing it. So I don't think it's a case of necessarily that the small players are going to take over per se. I think they're going to be maybe driving the innovation, some of the risk-taking, and experimenting, but we are also seeing that in some of the key, we're seeing some leaders basically in the big firms. I don't want to make it seem like it's only these small brands who are pushing forward. Like, we're actually seeing some of the big brands take a big lead. And the thing with the big brands is that we do need them. Like, we need these brands to push this agenda forward, because it can have massive impact, right? Because they, for example, if you think of let's say a large denim producer, how much cotton they order, right? So if they start making sure everyone in their supply chain is organic, it's all organic cotton, for example, mm-hmm. that has a huge impact on the whole industry. Suddenly the price of organic cotton could get a lot cheaper, which again helps young designers coming up. So it's kind of a system that works, that's intertwined, and we're seeing really good progress, or at least good commitments on some of the big companies, and then a lot of the innovation and progress as well being made by young designers.
Mm. It's just so interesting. It's just gonna, especially with, I mean, this whole COVID thing, it's going to be interesting to see how everybody else pivots, taking, you know, global warming to account, environmental sustainability to account, and all those things, and how they went to fast track, and how everybody's still going to collaborate and work towards, because it, at the end of the day, it is a community work, right? So all of us, we need to be caring for our planet and we want better. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of us align. And so therefore, in closing, then I would like each of you just to explain to the listener, like, what does this report, what does it mean for List? You know, why is it important that you do it? Why is it important that you share, you know, these insights? Brenda?
Well, we were really keen on exploring ideas, as I said before, and give a platform to new designers that they were doing interesting things. We wanted to showcase the fresh energy in sustainable fashion. Mm-hmm. And and we wanted to support every person that wants to do or is interested in sustainable fashion, that wants to dress sustainably. We wanted to show that there are kind of all these different ways of doing it. Mm-hmm. And we also think it's a very big part of the fashion conversation at the moment, which is something that needs to be, you know, talk about. So yeah, that's the main reasons in terms of elaborating the report. But Noam can tell you a little bit more about more of a like a company level and
yeah definitely. I think from the org side, like, This is something really internally we're really passionate about, sustainability. And the thing with the list is, so we are this big global fashion platform, but we actually don't own any inventory. We don't manufacture, we don't ship or deliver items ourselves. So in terms of as a company, when we think about how we can make impact, one piece of it is definitely this, is like helping to share insights on what's happening in the market and try to kind of influence the industry by sharing what's happening and where the trends are moving. And then also through this report, obviously, we get to platform and showcase some brands that we think are leading and doing a phenomenal job. So it's a piece of sort of how we're looking at and playing our part. But also there's a lot of other things in the pipeline that we're working on in terms of consumer side, trying to help make sure that our platform can help consumers make the best choice as well. So it's an ongoing thing, but I would say something as an organization, we're passionate and committed to kind of playing our part in making the industry more sustainable.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I enjoyed reading it, and you know, I'm going to read some of the themes out loud for our listeners, just so that they know some of the themes that we didn't touch on. The ones that we spoke about, these are the ones that stood out for me, but I'm sure everybody else is wondering what else is still, you know, is in the report. So I will do that. And I just, you know, just as parting, just any last few words that we would like to share. It's holiday season. What is the list woman and man will be looking like? And yeah.
I'll leave this one for Brenda.
But yeah, actually, we are starting to see people looking for sort of party wear, bits of party wear, like, I don't know, knit, lurex, knit, you know, knitted items, yeah. Or, you know, like things that they can be, that are not kind of only, like, you know, party dresses and stuff, things that they can be a little bit more versatile. Mm-hmm. But with this starting, I think people have a big, they, as I said before, they have a big desire to dress up and enjoy and you know, and be kind of enjoying fashion. Like, that's what they kind of, they stayed at home for so long. Now they want to see all the people that they matter to them. So, and they want to celebrate. And then you can see that there is this thing that not kind of a sort of frivolous, well, I think, it's not the right word, but no kind of just a party dresses, like things that they kind of make them feel good. That, as I said, like nice knitted top, like things with kind of embellishments, you know, that sort of, that just positive, that brings positivity.
Feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see knitted wear in SA in December.
No, it's too hard. Well, it's for you guys. It's way too hard. Thank you so much. Till we meet in London, and now that we can all travel, and yeah, so we're all looking forward to just moving around and enjoying ourselves and connecting with all our favorite places. So thank you so much for your time, and yeah, until we meet again. We'll be right back.